Reinhardt. Got it in the corner. Holman, three. High off the glass. No good. Hap got the rebound. Rockets will rush it the other way. Hap down the lane. Slams it home. Wow, what a play by Hap coast to coast. Here's Heath with it. The alley-oop. It's the Hap who throws it down.
All right, it's the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. Man, some great memories with a great dude, Ethan Hap. Remember that back in the day? That was a fun run on WRMJ. And he joins us via phone line this morning. First up, Mr. Ethan Hap, thank you for all the great memories. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, thank you for all the great calls, man. That was a little throwback. That was nice to hear your voice announcing my games again. But I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on.
Now, what is your situation now? Are you back home, or where are you at right now?
Yes, sir, back home, Mile, Illinois. All right, enjoy.
Well, welcome home. Well, let's kind of take a walk down memory lane. We'll get to what you're currently doing, but you know, I always like to start from the very beginning. And, you know, it's weird. Last week we had Greg Giovanni on, and I had never talked to him before. So he knew
that must have been fantastic.
Yeah, so he knew the
fantastic person.
Yeah, so he knew the connection of the station covering local sports out in this area. So he initially told a story about your dad, who played for his dad and was the captain of Chips Giovanni's first basketball team at La Salle, Peru.
Yeah.
And then he said you went to basketball camp at Augie growing up. And he said all your dad ever wanted was to make sure you were good enough to play at Augustana College. And he said Ethan was finally good enough to play at Augustana College. So talk about your upbringing, your mom and your dad being involved. And I know Eric, your brother, is such a big part of your life. So let's start with family and how it was down in South Milan playing basketball back in the day.
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all those stories Coach G told were true. And that was definitely a huge part. Was my dad was, a basketball fanatic, and spent a lot of time growing up playing a lot of different sports for him. But he definitely, that rubbed up on us, and we wanted to work harder and kind of play basketball. And that's true. Like, we went to Augie games growing up, and it's funny because I know when I was little, they were all superstars to me. And, that not that they're not superstar people, but, now that I grow up and now that I'm working out with Jordan Belp or I see Alex Washington, people that I grew up idolizing, it's just a funny, little notion coming from a small town like this. But yeah, my brother and I were real competitive, and that's kind of, he was a bigger, stronger, older brother that was always beating up on me. And I just wanted to, get in the mix and hang out with him and his friends, and you had to be tough to do that. And that's kind of how I grew the mentality of hard work, was just a culmination of all those things. And I was, blessed to grow as tall as I did, especially as late as I did, because that gave me, the quickness and the size, rather than if I were to be just a string bean my whole life, I might not have the footwork or the athletic ability.
Yeah, and you talk about getting beat up. Now, you're not talking about fist fights. Maybe there were some, probably, brotherly love, as they say. But was that really the first aspect of the competitive nature? Because I had an older brother, too, and I know kind of how it was like. Now, I'm not – people are probably out there listening. Taylor says he's as good as Ethan Hap. No, I'm just saying I want – the first thing in life when you're – the competition of life, the first thing you want to do – is you want to show your dad that you're going to beat your older brother. I mean, was that kind of like it was for you or not?
Oh, for sure. 100%. I mean, I think that's what any kid wants is, respect of their siblings and their parents. And that was definitely a huge driving force for me, was, the tension and competitiveness drew some resentment, and even into my brother and I, our regular lives, when we stepped off the court, we were still kind of, mad at each other or fight over some other little thing that didn't matter. But because he just beat me in one-on-one 10 times in a row, you know, that made me be mad at them and just hold that in. And that, I guess you could almost say that it's kind of a fire inside you, you know. It just kept burning and burning, and it just made me want to work even harder and be better than him and earn his respect and, you know, earn my parents' respect. And, yeah, I mean, there were definitely times, you say it wasn't fist fights. There was definitely times where it was fist fights, you know, one-on-one into a fist fight. But it was all, you know, good nature, and we'd all sit down and have dinner after, at least. So kind of tempers cool after that.
Yeah, so I remember when the Journey came out, Big Ten, the Journey came out, and they did the piece on you. And I thought it was great they came back to, you know, your home school, and they talked to Toby Whiteman, they talked to Jordan Delp, talked to your brother. It was awesome. And you told the story about, I think I read this piece, where, you know, your dad would have you guys do drills too. So can you elaborate a little bit on that? So, like, was it like ball handling drills, or, you know, Ethan and Eric, go out there, we're going to do a box out drill. So kind of explain, like, what was, I wish I would have grown up in South Milan, man. So kind of tell us what went on there.
Yeah, so that's, like I said, you know, we had a desire to become really good basketball players because of, you know, what my dad was, and he played Division III at North Central. And that was, you know, the goal, to be as good as he was and then even surpass him. And he always told us these stories about his work ethic and how he would play. He would find a way to work out even in the wintertime. He'd cut his fingertips off of his gloves so he could still kind of feel the ball in the snow, and all these crazy stories. Now, probably true. You know, some may be exaggerated, I'm not sure, but either way it worked. And, you know, that's what me and Eric wanted to do. So we basically told him, you know, we're ready to work, and how can you help us get to the next level? Which at that time was Division III, and Division I was kind of far off. But yeah, he would print out these spreadsheets, and this was in the summertime when he was at work and we were at home all day from obviously summer vacation from school. And we would have a bunch of boxes, like 50 jump ropes or 25 left-handed layups or 50 free throws or, you know, two ball dribbling, different shooting drills. And we would have to check those boxes off before he would come home from work that day. And yeah, that was basically the story of the spreadsheets.
Oh, that's just great. And then, you know, the kind of friends you grew up and surrounded yourself with in your neighborhood. I know, you know, talk about South Milan, and the mayor of South Milan is Kelly Stevens, right? So I know,
yeah.
I know that, you know, despite what you've gone on and done in these big things, the kind of local connection you have. And I think Kelly Stevens always tells me the one story when he was taking you, like they were dropping you off to your first game or whatever, and you were in a, I don't know if it was in your dad's van, and you were sitting in a beanbag
in the back. The truck.
And he said, I won't use the word that he said, you think you're big stuff here in Madison, but you ain't nothing but a beanbag boy. So, something like that,
yeah.
Anyway. That's so like Kelly Stevens. So tell us about the culture of South Milan and the friendships and how much that means to you still today.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny is I was just actually last night, Luke Johnson, Nolan Stevens came over and sat in the driveway, who are the Johnsons and the Stevens.
I'm going to stop you there. I wish I would have been there, because you just mentioned dudes that I really love to cover and I respect greatly. That would be a great roundtable discussion. But I cut you off.
Oh,
I'll let
sure.
you. Yeah, I'll let you pick up. You know about that. So carry on.
Yeah, you throw you in the mix and you're asking us questions from the past. It'd be definitely a great dinner. But anyways, yeah. So they, it's crazy because we were actually talking about it last night, how Luke, Nolan, and I are all within a year, and our older brothers, Alex, Niall, and Eric, are all within a year. and then just to have two or three sets of brothers grow up within a mile from each other like this, we just grew up playing outside. I mean, playing competitive games together, whether it was basketball, wiffle ball, football in the front yard. There's a thousand things that we did and competed at, and you know, we all have a fantastic set of parents as well to go with that. And that's really the most important thing to me. Is it's crazy how well-rounded all the people that came out of South Milan are. I'm not even going to include myself. I'm talking about the other five. I mean, they're just fantastic people first. And you know, that starts with the parenting, and I will cherish those friendships forever. But you know, it's funny when you talk to people from different hometowns and they're not really close, or do you even talk to anyone? Like, these are still my best friends today. And I, you know, obviously don't see that changing in any time in the future.
Well, and that's tremendous. And you mentioned guys, you talk about, and this is, I'm going to bring up Glenn Cook. You know Glenn Cook at all? but anyway, he always, I always tease him because he always talks about kids that he knew at Rock Ridge, that first and foremost, he would always say, it's about when the game starts, it's about winning the game. And there are certain kids where you know that it doesn't, the stats don't matter. It's just when the ball goes up or you hand the baseball to the young man, it's win the game. And all those kids you mentioned, they fit under that category. It was such a special group over there when I was, and I miss those days. And I know when I talk with Coach Whiteman and Coach Say, you know, Coach Whiteman always says, don't think, he has the great quote. He says, don't think you can just put this magic jersey on and it's a Rock Ridge jersey and you can be Ethan Happ or Brian Heath or Luke Johnson or Nolan Stevens or whoever in that era. It wasn't a magic jersey for those dudes. They got after it. They competed. And I just always love that description that he gave. But when you mentioned those kids you grew up with, you know, you talked about your brother. How important was it being around those guys growing up in competing all the time? And I'm talking about outside organized athletics where you're at a youth basketball game or you're at a youth baseball game. I'm talking about just playing in the neighborhood without adult supervision. It's just kids playing on their own, which you don't see a lot anymore. How important was that to you in your development with those five kids you just mentioned? And I'm sure it wasn't all, you know, friendly stuff when it was going on. I mean, friends outside of the competition, but I'm sure you kids got after it too.
Yeah, no, 100%. There was so much, I mean, there was so much respect, but the competitiveness just was through the roof. And that's what I loved, you know, summers and weekends when growing up, we could just go out in the front yard and play for 6 hours straight. And I feel bad for kids who have these devices and iPads and gaming systems. Not that, I mean, we had PlayStation 2, but it just, it's a lot cooler today than it was back then. So, you know, it's more enticing to stay inside and play with your friends versus go outside and get together. But the games that we played and the amount of time someone got elbowed in the mouth and just no one batted an eye, you know, it was fantastic competitiveness. And that's really where I grew into it. Like I said, it started with me and my brother. But then obviously my brother and I were playing with, you know, these other four kids a lot. And that was huge for us. And I will always be, say to the end of my days, that I was blessed to have these other kids grow up right around me that were such great kids. And, you know, were always there for us when we wanted to get out and really get after it in backyard wiffle ball or whatever stupid sport we were going to play that day.
Yeah, so you get a hard, like, Dennis Rodman-type foul from Alex Johnson, and they say, don't you go crying to Mommy and Daddy, Ethan.
It was something like that. You know, when we were younger, obviously, maybe some tears were flowing, but after that, you didn't want to see
yeah.
or have anybody else see you cry. So
all right, so you
had to suck it up.
All right, so do you remember, like, give me your first, like, your first memory of, like, playing organized basketball, like when there was a referee, a clock, and they tipped the ball up and you played. Do you remember back far that back, kind of the first experience or not? Or is it all a blur?
It's tough to say that, but my first one, but I know my earliest, most memorable one, it will stick with me again until the end of my time here.
I got to hear it.
It was a, you know, there's like a Blackhawk League. I don't know if it still goes on.
Oh, yeah, yes. But everybody plays in that league.
Yeah, anyways, so it was Blackhawk League, and it was the first game that we put together our Rock Ridge team. It was like the first time we brought like kids from Andalusia, Illinois City, and Reynolds all together on like a team. And my dad was a coach. We were down by one with like 10 seconds left. And Cole Linneman, I'm not sure if you're familiar with who that is.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
He got a steal. He got a steal. Sorry about that. He got a steal. And he passed it to me, and I had a wide-open left-handed layup. And instead of going for the left-hand layup, I tried to finger roll it with my right hand over the middle. Missed the layup. They got the rebound. We lost the game. And I cried the whole way home. And then, that definitely stuck with me. But then the next day, my dad, I think maybe that was the birthing of those charts.
Oh, wow.
I did a lot of left-hand layups after that.
So what you remember, like, what grade would that have been in? Like, fifth, sixth, you remember?
No, that was third or fourth.
No kidding. Man, what a Cole Linneman name drop on Devil York. That is absolutely...
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It will be with me forever.
Yeah.
That I should have shot the left-handed layup.
And I'm
trying to finger roll it over with the right.
So then kind of transitioning into your days at Rock Ridge. And you talk about, you know, that memory, and it's a loss because you guys won so much. So you can't remember all the wins. It's impossible. but I know I remember I was cleaning out, I was archiving a bunch of stuff, and I was listening because I was just so crushed the year that Rock Ridge lost that game in the sectional final because I thought they're going to be undefeated state champs, and this kid from Rock Ridge may have a chance to be Mr. Basketball if Rock Ridge wins the state title, and that was the year the Okafor dude won Mr. Basketball.
Yeah.
I argue with people, if Rock Ridge would have finished undefeated in state champs, I think you would have a chance to be Mr. Basketball in Illinois. That's just small market radio, Alito opinion. Back here being a being a complete homer.
Yeah.
So
that'll stick with me forever too. That loss.
Yeah. So just your Rock Ridge memories and what a ride that was for your years at Rock Ridge. Elaborate about that a little bit.
I can't tell you really anything more important than growing up with these kids. The kids that we started playing with in third and fourth grade, we played together, you know, from that time all the way till senior year. And then being able to on the same, you know, playing with Alex Johnson and Luke and Nolan and Niall Stevens and my brother, you know, growing up since we were like, I don't know, before first grade. And then being able to play with all of your best friends on a team and compete and actually have it mean something versus who was the Pig Cup champion in our front yard, that was the best memory and experience for me, was getting to play with all of those, you know, dear friends that I still, you know, cherish and talk to today. That was definitely the best, was trying to compete with them and go out and win with them.
And I always thought my memories of that, you know, when they started hearing word that you had verbally committed to play in the Big Ten and go to Wisconsin, and then you get all this attention and you get people beyond Rock Ridge in the team that you're playing going to these games, so you have a lot of this attention around you. And then, you know, people can be jerks to kids that get a lot of attention, and I'll never forget, we were I won't even say the school we were broadcasting at, and it was your senior year, and you were playing on the road, and it was a hotly contested.
Kiwani.
No, okay, whatever. You can name the name or whatever. So people are saying, and I'm, because we broadcast in the corner, and yep. Darren Bazzari was with me, and John Hoshite was with me, and we were broadcasting, and so from my vantage point, I'm looking. Our broadcast vantage point, we're in a corner, and we're kind of broadcasting behind the end of the bench. We're up in a balcony. So you can see across the court. And I just see this guy just freaking going nuts the whole game at you. And you just went off and scored. But so after the game, I see the same guy who's just being a jerk the whole game, saying stuff, and he comes up to you and he wants you to sign something, and I remember I'm sitting up in the corner, I'm like, don't do it, don't sign it, you signed it for the guy. But that's the kind of kid you were at Rock Ridge, the amount of attention that you had and still the stuff you kind of gave back. So I'm just curious, yeah. Was that something from home, how you dealt with all that? Because I'm telling you, man, a lot of people couldn't take that. If you're 16 or 17, you'd want to turn around and tell an adult who's acting like an idiot, hey, you need to sit down and shut up. But you didn't handle it that way. So I guess, long story short, why was that? How'd you do it? How'd you keep your cool in situations like that?
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely the upbringing from my mom and my dad, you know, kind of prepared me for that and how to deal with adversity and handle those situations. But I can tell you honestly that it happened a lot of places, and Kiwani was one of the worst ones when I was in high school, where the whole student section, I mean, there was that one guy, but the whole student section was chanting, and, you know, there was even some people being vulgar about it. And then I was on the court for an hour after the game signing autographs.
I know, I remember.
Obviously, all of these same people that were chanting these things at me. And it didn't matter to me, you know, what they said, as long as they didn't cross the line or whatever. But I don't even know what the right word is. I felt honored almost.
Yeah.
You know, I was this young kid, and I had all these people that wanted, you know, my signature. And I guess it still really hasn't sunk in. You know, even all these years later and all these thousands of signatures later, I still feel the same way. I just feel honored that someone respects me enough or looks up to me enough that they want, you know, something that I signed.
Yeah, awesome. And I know you have mutual respect and you have friendships with kids that played on that Kiwani team. And we're just talking about some exceptions that make it terrible for everybody. But anyway, we have a lot more coming up. Ethan Happ is standing by, and our time is quickly getting away from us, but we still have more coming up. Ethan going to hang around, and you're listening to the WRMJ Sports Line on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
As a small business owner, you know that every year running a business brings new challenges and opportunities. The success of your business demands expertise and focus, and Country Financial can help you keep that focus by helping ensure you have the right insurance protection in place to meet your goals. Your Country Financial representative can help you create a customized insurance plan that has coverage designed just for your business. Give your agent a call today. Coverages may vary by state. Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialist understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialist is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialist frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialists in Galesburg thanks you for your support.
Buying new is out of the question. The next best option, a quality pre-owned vehicle at a sweet price. But where to start? Progress Park Auto Sales should be first on your list and will probably be the last too once you find yourself in a warranted vehicle from their lot that is just what you were looking for. Did I say warranted? I sure did. Most of their vehicles come with a comprehensive warranty. And if they don't have what you want, they'll find it for you. Open every weekday to serve you. Progress Park Auto Sales, Route 17, Alito.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WMJ Sports Line. Great to have Ethan Happ with us on this Saturday morning. And I know, Coach, during the break, I got a text from Coach Whiteman, and he said that sectional final game is off limits. But I do want to share this is, and I probably shouldn't say this, but one of the great stories Coach Whiteman told me in his career, and of course, he's an assistant on the staff. He told me this story. The summer of your junior year going into your senior year. And he said, I told Ethan, if you want to go out and play these summer league games and get 45 points and 27 rebounds, have at it. You can do it. Don't go ahead. But if you want to get everybody on your team better and do these things, A, B, C, D, E, F, I'm going to tell you, we'll get to state next year, your senior year. And I remember, and of course, you can have one bad quarter, take one bad shot, whatever, and the way why sports are so great is because there are no guarantees. And he said, that kid did everything I asked of him, and he sacrificed so much, and we didn't get to state. And I remember he said, you know, the next year when we got to state, he goes, it was a little bittersweet for me. He says, because I was happy that we went, or we were going to state, no question about it. But I was so sad because the year before I told Hap, if you do everything I ask of you and sacrifice, you'll get to state. And he didn't get to state. I thought that was just kind of great. I wanted to share that with you. And mm-hmm. I just think that's a great story about Coach Whiteman.
Yeah. I mean, one of many. I definitely, you know, I remember exactly what he's talking about. It definitely was, that was definitely one of the, I wouldn't call it a failure, because obviously I you learn so much through adversity and through failures that they don't even become failures. But, that was the biggest test of adversity that I ever had when we lost that game. And I know that sounds crazy, like, what, you're going to Wisconsin next year, you have so much in front of you, but to not be able to go to the state championship, with the best friends that I've been playing with since I was in fourth grade, and Luke and Nolan, that shook me to my core. And, it still does, if I sit and think about it long enough. But yeah, I'll never forget, that feeling. But Coach Whiteman did, everything that was within his power, just as, all of us players did. So that's kind of a success in my eyes, because we gave, I think it's a John Wooden quote, actually, success is giving your full energy and putting forth every effort you have, and then living with the result. And, that's how I view it now, that I've, 5 years or 6 years removed, whatever it is.
I still vividly remember that night, too. And you guys handled it the right way. I'm just curious, when did you, it's a tough question to ask. Like, when did you know that basketball got its hooks on you? Was it like a junior high moment, or I heard the stories about a really great baseball kid growing up, and your first cousin J.A. Happ plays professionally. Was baseball kind of your first love, or was it basketball? When did basketball really get you?
Yeah, you got a good source, whoever that was. But baseball was growing up was my. I mean, I loved football. I loved basketball. I loved everything anything I could do to compete. I just loved getting in and trying to beat the other person. But baseball was my favorite. By far, it was my favorite growing up. It was probably my favorite even getting up to high school, but I looked at it as my chance of getting a D1 scholarship and playing even beyond that was better through the basketball route. So I still played baseball, but it took a backseat in off-season training and all those things. But the best thing about baseball for me was that I loved pitching. That was my favorite part of it, was that you could control the whole entire game. You know what I mean? It's a team sport, but as a pitcher, if you throw a no-hitter or a perfect game, I mean, you guys, more than likely, you win the game. And just having that much control in a team sport, that's where I fell in love with it. But I would say was closer between my dad and I, so that love was even deeper, I would say. And I can't really give you a time frame of when it really hit me, but I can tell you right now that I still love it just as much as I did when I was a junior high kid playing.
Well, and it's interesting because I was talking to Coach Cook last night, and he said, "Hey, Taylor." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "You want to know the best outfield play I ever saw in high school baseball?" And I'm like, "Sure." He's like, "Ethan Happ, we were playing at Spring Valley Hall, and he made an unbelievable catch in center field." So Coach Cook, who's watched 9 million baseball games, says the best high school catch he ever saw was Ethan Happ's senior year. What about that?
Man, Coach Cook is one of a kind. I love him to death, and I hope he's listening. Hopefully, I should have texted him, but
he's listening.
I'm sure. Okay, perfect. Yeah, Coach Cook is one of a kind, and he means so much to me, and not only me, but the whole community of Rock Ridge with everything and all the years that he's put in. But yeah, I know how much baseball he's seen in his lifetime, and it would be sickening to the average person to know that he watches baseball this much. But I don't know if that's fully true or if he just doesn't remember all the other great plays that he's seen.
No, it's true.
One of the two.
All right, so your recruitment at Rock Ridge, and you commit to Wisconsin, and then, of course, the transition from your unbelievable high school career at Rock Ridge. You know, not just playing IHSA basketball, but I know you broke on the scene at AAU, and that's where I understand you turned a bunch of heads in the AAU circuit. When did you kind of know that maybe I can play at the D1 level? Was that through the AAU circuit and just conversations with people that were recruiting you at the time? Or just kind of take us through when you kind of knew that, man, maybe I can play at this D1 level.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll try and take you through kind of the thought process on that. Like, basically, when I was on the AAU circuit, because around here, obviously, you know, there are people that go Division I, but you know, there's a lot more people that don't. But with the AAU circuit, there's a lot of people there that do go Division I. And I just remember playing, I think it was going into my junior year maybe, or even before that, I was playing against guys that already had Division I scholarships. I was like, huh, I can beat that guy. I'm better than that guy. And then kind of that cultivated in my mind that, you know, like if that guy has a Division I scholarship, and I keep working the way I'm working, you know, I'm definitely going to get an opportunity to go Division I. And at that time, I thought it was just going to be like a low major Division I. And then once I went to a tournament in Wisconsin, was the first team to really jump on me, and they wanted to invite me up to their team camp. And I couldn't believe that Bo Ryan wanted to see me play in person. It was still such a crazy feeling, but we went up there, my dad and I, and then I stayed for the 2 or 3 days. And by the end of it, I had played well enough that they wanted to offer me a full scholarship. And I remember calling Luke Johnson from the dorm room that I was staying in, and we both still couldn't believe it. It was to get a full scholarship, to play basketball at Wisconsin was something that we hadn't even really processed or thought that could have been a possibility for me.
Amazing. And then, you know, you played some games, which turned out to be your redshirt freshman year, but then your first year on campus, I should say, and then you would decide to redshirt. But that's such a huge transition. And I know that's the toughest part in all of this story. So what was that first year like where you decide to redshirt, and it's tough. And, you know, it's funny because the 1 year I went up on media day, and they invite you to a practice at Madison. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, from just watching that practice behind the scenes, I'm like, man, this ain't easy playing Big Ten basketball, just watching this, you know, practice where, you know, it's just a media day type of practice, but I'm still like, man, that looks a little bit too challenging, you know, having to deal with that, like, every day. So what about that first year where you had the red shirt and you're in Madison and you're big man on campus at Rock Ridge, and then you're not big man campus, big man on campus at Wisconsin or whatever, at least at the time being, you are the big man on campus there now. But what was that like, that transition, that first year? How tough was that? And where did you finally get over the hump that redshirt year? Was there a moment?
Yeah. The transition itself was really tough. You know, going from, I would say just socially, it was tough even, where going from a town of Milan, or village, I should say, of like 5,000 people, and then you go to Madison where there's just everything and anything that you want in front of you, all these restaurants you can walk to, all of the cool places around campus, different spots. You know, time management and then school got a lot harder. It was definitely a shock to my system in both of those categories, but then the play was so intense and so physical. And I remember, you know, going through the process in high school, and they were going to say, oh, the Big Ten's real physical. I thought, okay, yeah, I'm going to get in the weight room. I'm going to get big. And it didn't matter. It was almost a different type of physicality where you were just throwing people around, or I was getting thrown around, I should rather say. And I'm looking around at the refs, like, because we had refs in our practices. And, you know, they're – nothing's being called, really, especially in those early practices that you probably saw, because that's when they really want to toughen guys up and get ready for the season. But the turning point for me was when I actually finally decided to redshirt, because I was so torn on if I should or not, and the coaches were the same way. They thought it would be good long term, but they would like to see me play right away. And then finally, once I decided to redshirt, that's when I really locked in. I'm just getting better every single day for next year.
Did you ever, you know, early in your days there, did you ever consider, hey, I don't know if this is right for me. Maybe I should look somewhere else. Did that ever enter your mind at that young of age?
Yes. No, doubt crept in a lot. And especially that first summer that I was up there, they had us running around campus all day, finding all these classes and where buildings were and all these freshman initiation like organizations and all day. And we had lifting at 6 a.m. and then we'd go do that all day. And then we'd have open gym or some kind of structured individual practice with coaches. And then I'm exhausted, but I still have to do like all this homework and stuff from the summer classes. And then I wake up and do the next thing, or the same thing the next day for, you know, 5 days a week. And I didn't feel like myself. You know, I was happy-go-lucky at Rock Ridge, and I started to feel just worn down that first summer. And I thought about, you know, maybe this isn't for me. But, you know, I just, my parents didn't want to, I guess, they definitely didn't want me to be a quitter. And that's kind of what kept me going. Was I didn't want to drop out for them, or not drop out, but transfer schools or whatever. But yeah, that was kind of the turning point.
What was so, there?
It was definitely an interesting experience.
Yeah. Was there a certain moment, you know, you said after you decided to redshirt, was there a certain moment at a practice or a situation where you were reinforced from maybe a coach or somebody that was in the program and said, dude, you can play at this level? Or you did something at practice that stood out, and they said, man, you're going to really contribute to this program. Is there something like that that happened that you said, man, that really made me feel good?
Yeah, I mean, there was, like, after one of the practices, or actually, I mean, really during practice, because there were these for people who aren't familiar with basketball in college, there's scout team, which is basically you run the other team's plays and sets. And I just remember our scout team being so energetic and talking about doing well. And I just remember if we got over 1 point per possession, then the other team, the first team would have to run. And they did not like that at all, especially that group of seniors. So it happened once, and then Josh pulled me aside. He's like, I know you're a killer. Josh Gosser pulled me aside. I know you're a killer, but I need you to start missing some shots or something towards the end so we don't have to run anymore. Like, don't let it happen again.
All right.
And, you know, that kind of vote of confidence from the captain of the team when I was that young was huge.
These are some great insights you're really sharing, and I appreciate that. You know, and here's myself, a 53-year-old ball guy that grew up. I loved following Big Ten basketball growing up. Love it today. Big fan. And so I was so thrilled to kind of share in some of this where you'd get tickets for games for me. And for like me, so I got to see Ethan play at West Lafayette, at Mackey against Purdue. I know I went, saw him play at the Barn up in Minneapolis, Williams Arena,
yep.
Saw him play at Kohl Center, saw him play at State Farm Center, saw him play at Iowa City, of course. So for me, just like being a fan and knowing you and being there and say, hey, man, I know the dude that's playing out there. I know him. He's playing at Williams Arena, and the fans are going crazy, and the dude gets to play in that environment. Gosh, I wish I could do that, you know, but to be a part of it. Did you ever drink any of that in? Like, man, I'm playing at Williams Arena, and this place is just rocking, and I'm playing D1 basketball in the Big Ten, and it's the Badgers, and it's the Gophers, and they're yelling at me, and I'm going off on them, and they can't stop me, and the Badgers are winning. I mean, did you ever step back in that era when you played there and say, man, I'm doing this. This is so awesome. Did you appreciate those, like, moments? Can you talk about that, a little kid that played in small school gyms growing up in Western Illinois? And then you get to kind of play at the pinnacle of D1 basketball, and then everybody sharing in that with you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was fortunate enough to, you know, have kind of a good head on my shoulders to where I was cognizant of what was happening while it was happening. You know, a lot of people don't realize how good stuff is until it's gone. And, you know, it's the same way, you know, real quick, with high school, you know, I enjoyed every minute of it and I got everything out of it. So I wasn't really sad when I left. And that's the same thing with here. I enjoyed, you know, every minute of it. And when I was on those road games or playing in those road games and the crowd, you know, 16,000 people just going nuts, you know, and I would always just once in a while take a second and just kind of take a deep breath and kind of be, you know, where my feet were and just realize, wow, this is intense. Like, you know, they're chanting, especially towards the end of my career when they, you know, whole student sections were chanting, you know, bad things at me or whatever it was. You know, it's just from where I started in this little, you know, hometown of Milan to get to that point, was almost indescribable, when I'm on the court and there's, you know, all those fans going nuts. And I'm just kind of taking a deep breath and taking it all in.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, because I remember the night, it was the middle of the week, and you guys were playing in West Lafayette at Mackey, and I took my middle daughter with me, who was like fourth grade. So we get there early, and you guys, you guys come out, Wisconsin comes out. This is like 40, 50 minutes before the game, and at Mackey, the students occupy both ends under the basket.
Yep.
And so you immediately come out, and my daughter had never been to a college basketball game before, and the students just, I mean, it's like you're bleeding in the shark tank, and it's all, let's go after a half. And my daughter looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, he's gonna feel that the whole game. And then that was the game where, like, Carson Edwards hit, like, 9 threes in the first 2 minutes. But, you know, even though you lost, even that night, the experience of just being there and saying, man, that dude's playing for Wisconsin at Purdue and they're going off on him and that's the guy they want to stop. That's the guy they want to antagonize. And it's because he's such a good player, and kind of just to live in the moment with you. I don't know if you get it. I mean, it's just so awesome to be such a small part of that, to watch that, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I never, like going back to Kiwani, I never was upset unless, they crossed the line about, my family or something like that. If, it was all fun and fair, and even when they were vulgar and really mean, because, that was a great compliment. They were singling me out. That meant that I was actually contributing something to the team. That was always a compliment when people would do those things. So I was never upset about it. But then, to have, I think especially 20 years from now, 30, whatever it is, to have people like you have these stories, and shared experiences like you're talking about, that's, again, one of the most impactful things for me and meaningful things is, you have this story of, Mackey Arena. My brother has a story of Indiana. I mean, there's people all throughout the Quad Cities that have all these little stories of, even if, we weren't talking during the moment, we shared, that crazy, intense moment together, and that will forever, hold a place in my heart that I have so many people through that.
All right, one more break with Ethan Happ. We'll take a break and one more segment coming up. Man, he's been great this morning. You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
Most people understand the need for life insurance, but not many want to talk about why it's essential to your financial plan. It may seem intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started with Country Financial. Your Country Financial representative will work with you to find life insurance that gives you the protection you need at a price you can afford.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Viola, see me, Troy Mayhew.
And in Moline, see me, Steve Sim.
Office Specialists understands keeping communities safe is a priority. Office Specialists is open during this unprecedented time as an essential business. They are key in logistics for public safety, municipalities, banks, food service, healthcare, and more. Purchase items by calling 309-342-7711 to arrange curbside pickup or delivery to the Aledo area. Or go to osi.biz to order online. Office Specialists frequently sanitizes surfaces within their facility, their warehouses, and their vehicles. Office Specialists in Galesburg thanks you for your support. The human foot is complex with 26 bones, 33 joints, 20 of which are actively articulated, and there's more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments. That's why 6140 Run has Albert, the revolutionary 3D foot scanner. Albert helps customize your shoes specifically to meet your feet. Whether you run, walk, or on your feet for a long time, 6140 Run knows how feet come in all shapes and sizes, and with Albert, you'll get a customized, comfortable fit every time. 6140 Run carries Hoka, Brooks, Mizuno running and walking shoes, and Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. For a better fit for your feet, see 6140 Run on Main Street in downtown Galesburg.
6140 Run showroom is closed to walk-in traffic, but if you need shoes, call for an appointment.
All right, a great Saturday morning with Ethan Happ here as our conversation winding down. So give us kind of an update now. You're playing internationally, I think, in Italy, back home. And I know the skill set they've talked about, perimeter game and free throw shooting. We've heard about that over the years. So where are you at right now, and what is the current situation for you, and what does the future hold for Ethan Happ from South Milan?
Yeah, I mean, right now, along with everyone, I'm just waiting on this virus or the outcome of the virus. If they come with, a vaccine, then, hopefully I play summer league. But if they, don't get that done, then it'll be just a waiting game. But as far as my game right now, I'm actually, Jordan Delp is coming over to give me kind of a workout from a distance in like a half hour. So I'm still hard at work on my skills and just going to keep moving forward that way.
Now, when you say summer league, you're talking about NBA summer league?
Yep.
And then I know when we, you know, last summer you had the back injury that you dealt with that sidelined you a little bit where you couldn't play summer league. What, your health has been pretty good, haven't had any issues in regards to that? How's all that?
Yeah, I'm going to knock on some wood right now, but since the back, you know, I haven't had anything significant.
Well, that's
I played in Greece for a while. There was a coaching change, so then I went to Italy and, you know, loved every second of it and really got to, you know, help myself and build myself up for next year. So all good with the body and all good with the mind.
So when you do the workout today, is that like in your driveway or just kind of explain what goes on?
Yeah, it's in the driveway.
No kidding. Wow.
No, I've been going at this for, I think Delp and I have been working together for almost a month now. You know, he coaches and, you know, I get my own rebounds and all those things. But, yeah, it's in my driveway. He'll drive out. And I'm actually just trying to secure some more kind of tile padding to put on the concrete. That way, you know, it'll benefit me in the long run for my body and my knees and, you know, jumping on the concrete all the time. But, yeah, no, we get good work in about four times a week out of the driveway, South Milan.
All right. Well, hey, I just want to, again, publicly on the air, just really thank you for your friendship to the station, friendship to me personally. I mean, it's great to, like you say, you know, shared experience. It's just been such an awesome, I mean, it's not, and I'm speaking just for myself here, but I know everybody listening can speak to this, you know, a lot of the Rock Ridge community, especially to kind of participate in this journey, which is not over. The story, there's still, you know, many more lines and chapters of this Ethan Happ story to be written. But I just sincerely want to thank you for letting me participate in some of this, because you just don't understand how awesome it's been for me, one, to call your games back in the day, but then to kind of follow your career in the Big Ten, you know, up close and personal. I just think it's so great. So I just wanted to tell you that, you know, publicly here today. Thank you very much for that.
Right, and thank you for, and everyone listening for following. You know, that's really what makes it all worthwhile, is the relationships you build, you know, the relationship that you and I have, Jim, you know, built through sports, you know, and there's thousands of those that I have in my life, of people that have, you know, followed me and been supportive of me, and, you know, they mean a lot to me. And like you said, I have a lot more left to do. So I'm really excited for the future, and I hope, I mean, I know you will, Jim, but I hope the other people that have been following me, that are listening, you know, they stay tuned as well.
All right, and I do, we talked about your dad. I wanted to say, too, he's such a cool dude, and I've appreciated the friendship with him over the years, too. And it's always nice to, because I stay in contact with him, especially a lot during your playing days at Wisconsin. And he's such a cool dude, too, and I know how important he is to your mindset, how important your brother is to your mindset, and your mother, too, in the South Milan roots. I think that's why everybody, it's easy to root for you when you know how important these people and this culture is back home, right? I mean, that's the cool story. That's the cool story about you, I think, that people, I hope they understand.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's people, you know, I think that root for me just because it was, you know, I was a big name in Wisconsin, but then there's a lot of people who, you know, can, through interviews or just meeting me briefly, you know, I can understand kind of my values and how important, you know, my family is to me and how important relationships are to me. And, you know, trying to help other people out has always been a huge goal of mine, you know, throughout all my playing days, but especially, you know, being in the spotlight as a college player, I try to do a lot for the community in Madison and things like that. And I think that's a big part of why people have been following for so long.
All right, Ethan, our time is up. I appreciate it, man. You've been awesome this morning, and I'll leave you with a Kelly Stevens quote. You ain't nothing, beanbag boy. No, but thanks for your time. I really appreciate it, and have a good summer.
Okay, man. Thanks for having me on. And we'll talk soon, okay?
All right, Ethan Happ with us on WRMJ. That'll do it on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning.